Oh, I say that. I almost never go right to sleep. Unless I'm, like, super sick, I almost never go right upstairs to sleep from these.
Can I?
Always. What the fuck was that? Stop! What was that?
Just finding out that this is a thing I can do.
Did you just drum roll us on Discord?
So there's, on like the bottom left side of the screen, there's like a little soundboard thing.
Where is this soundboard thing? Oh my god, I see it.
A music
Hold on.
Note? Excellent.
Oh my god.
This is dangerous.
This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. This is, I hope everybody's, I hope everybody's. Oh no. The podcast just became a whole new beast. A whole new beast. Oh
god.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to tune into another horrible gaming podcast. I'm not alone. Usually, I'm not never alone. With me is
Neil, aka a Tiny Wizard.
But we're not alone today. The Triforce is complete. The foundation is on together. We have a guest. That guest is
Yo, what's up, old man fam? PhilBilly330 here, back again for our December dash.
Yes. Yes, the multiple shows we all decide to do at the craziest time of the year. We could all blame me for this. That's fair. I'll take it. But today we are doing our prediction show. So we've been doing this for a while now. Every year we make some crazy predictions the year directly prior. Then we meet back up to see who won. And then we make more predictions. Because this show usually runs long anyway, we're going to be skipping the news segment of this show. We're just going to do fan traction. Then we're going to get into the predictions. And then we're going to wrap it up. So I am excited about this. I'm excited to have us all together again. Let's go ahead and get into it. But before we do, we got to thank the people who make this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a custom graphic. It's provided by Mr. Mark Bell. And, of course, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. We'll be right back for Fantraction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Traction. So we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We read out all your comments everywhere we get them, and we talk about them. It's what we have to offer here. So right off the bat, starting it off, Kayla. When I still worked for GameStop, our Nintendo rep came in one day to check on the marketing, and she went on about how we didn't have any of the Labo stuff out, then proceeded to grab a Labo and forced me to play with it. That's terrible. That's fucking terrible. Here, play with this cardboard.
Labo
is the cardboard. The little cardboard pieces that Nintendo sold for a while. You'd basically get a box of them, the little cardboard pieces, and you'd like fold them, and then they'd interact with your Switch. You can make like a little fishing rod. And I can't believe you didn't hear this. We talked, like, I ranted about it for a while.
So I've heard you mention it. I've just never known what it was.
I will send you a link. It's terrible. It was incredibly expensive, and it was just pieces of cardboard. So like you would make a little piano out of the cardboard and attach it to your Switch so that you could play a piano, and then like you could make a fishing rod with it, and then you play a fishing game with it. It's just cardboard, just pieces of cardboard that you fold. That you know that they folded up, they made it, they played that game once, then it went in a closet, it got crushed by an old cat carrying device that nobody was fucking using or something, never got remembered again, and somebody dropped $50 to $100 for it. I hated those fucking things.
So it was essentially the same technology, though, as, like, I'm guessing, like, those Disney, I forget what they're called.
But... the Infinity figurines?
Yeah.
Not even that.
It's not even that.
It was literally just cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a world where if they had, like, stencils that you could print out that cost you, like, $10 to $20. Yeah. Say, here's this kit. Here are the stencils that you can print out. You need paper clips and rubber bands. Build the thing and do it. I think there's a world where that would have been a great idea.
Yeah.
But the fact that there were two separate kits. There was one that was like $50 to $60, which was the one that had all the fun stuff. And then there was one that turned you into an entire robot made out of cardboard.
It was like a suit of cardboard
that you wore on your body and stomped around in for $100.
The cardboard would attach to like the Joy-Cons in some way to the point where like the cardboard would interact with the Joy-Cons, but it's still just cardboard, just fucking around with your controllers, basically. It was terrible. It's terrible. I hate fucking Labo.
It wasn't very successful, and I didn't even really understand what it was.
Fucking terrible. I'm sure they made more money than they should have on it.
If you make anything out of cardboard and sell it for $50-$60, you're gonna make money on it.
That's true. Then we got Jason. The three versus the backyard then, right? The fuck was I talking about? I'm sure he's referencing something I said, and I'm not in my sad ass brain is not picking it up. All right, I'll figure out what you're talking about like 3 days from now, man. I'm sorry. he then continued, the e-reader was cool. It let me get things on Animal Crossing, Laffy Face.
That's fair.
then William Owen chimes in. Hi! Exclamation point. I keep an eye on Elijah Craig, but to be honest, our bourbon selection is quite limited here, unfortunately. Finished RCG2, that's River City Girls 2, yesterday. Loved it. NG Plus, New Game Plus, seems cool. The only part I really disliked is the Armor Tech Influencer Girl. Ugh. Need to watch some guide videos on that one. She's tough. Beat her chugging health items, waiting for her to die, really. Sorry you're sick again, Zach. I know. It's sad. Like, I don't know who would even believe me at this point. It just gets ridiculous. Thanks for the show. #. And then Jason says ##. So great job to both of you on that one. That one's a tough fight. If you look back, because I played the entirety of RCG2 on Amateur Hour. If you look back, Will, that was one of my toughest fights was the tech girl. She was hard to fight. I still don't even understand how I beat her. Like, that's how tough she was. Like, I don't understand what worked. Like, she's a tough fight. But that's it for Fan Traction, which is good, because we have a big show, guys. We're going to do our prediction show. I've got 4 crazy more ones. I'm sure I lost yet last year. I lose this game every time. But it'll be fun to go through them. I actually found the list of the ones that I did last year. So
I have kept the keeper. The sticky note on my desktop.
No jelly this time.
No jelly. We're still... It's a 2-year-old joke now at this point, but no jelly.
all right. Well, we will be right back with that, guys.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point, and that is predictions. Predictions, predictions, predictions. Last year, we're starting with the results. Last year, we made these predictions, and we've got to see how we all lost to Phil. So let's let's find out. I believe, now, correct me if I'm wrong, We did three normal predictions, one crazy prediction. The normal predictions are worth 1 point. The crazy prediction is worth two or just one?
Two.
Okay. All right. And then we get a half point if we can argue that it kind of half happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So you're the keeper here, man. Who are we going to start off with?
So I don't even remember all my predictions.
I didn't until I found my prediction sticky note.
This is always the fun part because I stare at these because how I have my sticky notes mm-hmm. put up on my computer. I stare at this like constantly. So what I'll do is I'll just cycle through working through everybody's list one at a time.
All right.
So at the top of the list, the very first one, Phil, your first prediction was Hogwarts Legacy releases and it was bad.
I missed on that one, but I'm glad I was wrong. I believe I said I was. You did. I hope I'm wrong.
Yes. You know, I gotta say, I love any time one of my negative things doesn't hit. I'm not gonna lie; like it's my favorite thing when something turns out good. You know, and I predicted it to be bad.
Yeah, I'll take that point loss happily. I'm glad that there was quite a few successes this year.
There absolutely was. So going on to the next one, Zach, your first one, Microsoft announces Ubisoft acquisition. I think you may have grounds for a half point.
I'm glad you're saying something because I remember this one. I actually told Phil I was going to try and argue for this. Here's my grounds for a half point. I think they were in the room and I think that's evidence with what happened, but through the whole FTC... Well, not even the FTC, because the FTC folded like a wet napkin. I'm talking about like the CMA, the consumer guys over in Britain. To get it past the consumer, I can't remember what it's called. It's like Consumer Marketing Agency or something like that. The basically British FTC. To get it past that, they had to work out this insane deal with Ubisoft, where Ubisoft actually controls the streaming rights to all of Activision's properties on behalf of Microsoft. So basically they gave Ubisoft a bunch of money. Ubisoft now basically gets to say what streaming platforms Activision goes on, even though they're obviously going to immediately say that they could go on Game Pass, which is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. So I feel like these two companies have become, I mean, aside from my conspiracy theories that they were already in a room, they were already going to like, there was already a deal in the works, but the FTC muddied it up. Aside from those, I would say that these two companies are inexorbitantly connected from here on out. So I would just argue for a 0.5. I will, however, take any objections to the opposite.
I will absolutely give you a 0.5 on that because that's 1 foot in the doorway.
Right.
I think that makes an acquisition further down the line a lot easier, be it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, when people get over the whole Activision Blizzard acquisition.
It's like the difference between being boyfriend and girlfriend and friends with benefits. You're riding that line there, guys.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that one.
Huzzah. 0.5. Huzzah. On the board. On the board. Blood. First blood.
All right.
As your first blood. I'm quoting a movie nobody else watched.
My first one. What?
I said I'm quoting a movie nobody else watched. I don't know why I'm even bothering. The first Rambo movie, I'm sure you haven't seen it. Because every time I say a movie that is a classic, you say, I haven't seen that yet. So I'm positive you haven't seen that.
I was thinking some Stallone something or other because you got the in it.
I did get that. If you had seen me, my lip was going like off the side of my face. That's what I do with a slide. It's all physical comedy.
So my first one was a big swing and a miss.
Ooh.
Metroid Prime 4 trailer revealed. Big fat zero.
I thought you were going to get that one, honestly. I thought we'd at least see a trailer for it. Shit.
You know, that's the thing. With them riding the hype from Dread and having the Prime remaster rumors floating around, and then we finally actually had Prime 1 remaster came out,
mm-hmm.
I thought for sure that we were going to see it this year. I'm now subscribed to the they have a window that they know when this game is going to come out in, and they're going to trickle out the Prime remasters so everybody gets all three of them. And then after they have all three and have played all three, oh, by the way, here's Metroid Prime 4, which also means I will not be for, what, the second year in a row, third year in a row, I will not be having a Metroid-related prediction.
Tinfoil hat on, I think it's a release for the next Nintendo. I think it's a release game for the next Nintendo.
It probably is. They're definitely not going to put it on the Switch. If they do put it on the standard Switch, it's going to be that weird half launch that they like to do, to where they send off the previous one with a flagship game and open up the floodgates with the new one.
Yeah.
So, Phil, your second one. Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader releases this year.
It definitely is.
It does. It's 7th, right?
It's like coming out.
It's the 7th. I'm positive it's the 7th. I looked it up like 2 days ago. I'm going to look it up real quick.
I know it's coming out before the first of the year.
Release. No, I need the release date, guys. Release date, please. Thank you.
That one December 7th. Sneaker.
December 7th. So if on the off chance, which is very... at this point insane that they would delay it, but if for some reason they would delay it 4 days before it came out, we'll take the point away. But that thing's coming out on December 7th.
Multiple testing. There's already guys that have like 45 build videos for the game.
I've played Skull and Bones 4 times. That game's done. So, like, stranger things have happened. But, yeah, it's definitely coming out on the 7th, so we can give him a point.
Absolutely. And then, Zach, your second one. Okay. FTC allows the Activision sale to Microsoft.
I really wish I was wrong about this one. Like, 100%. It makes me sad in my heart that I was right about this. And I think I said last year, like, God, I hope I'm wrong. God, I hope I get defeated. I almost predicted it in the hopes, because usually I get killed on these prediction shows, that, like, it would not go through just to spite me, you know? Like, I really wish that hadn't happened. But, yeah, I think that's a full point.
Absolutely.
I think I even predicted concessions too, if I recall correctly.
I believe you did. And actually, piggybacking right off into my second one, I will argue for a half a point on this one.
Okay.
Activision deal gets interrupted by the FTC. It did get paused very briefly.
But I would give you a half point, but I'd give you a half point more on the fact that the CMA kind of really hung it up. I think the FTC folded a lot faster than I wanted them to.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely did.
100%. But it definitely got interrupted. I'd give you the half point because of the fact that it wasn't the FTC that hung it up, but it did get hung up. You know, that's where I'd give you the 0.5. I don't know. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it didn't get hung up for the whole year, which I'm guessing is what your prediction was aiming towards, but it got delayed a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, In the end, I kind of always expected it to go through. It was the same thing as, like, I really hoped it wasn't going to go through.
I
would have savored that single point. It would have held it close to my chest. But, you know, in the end, it was going to happen. So, Phil, your last regular prediction. Baldur's Gate 3 is well received as a front-loaded experience.
Oh, man. I would say 100% nailed that. I mean, all the complaints have come from that third act. Like, I'm not saying that anybody has hated it enough to be hated, but I would say that prediction holds true.
It did exactly what I was saying it would do.
They even had to fix an entire romance scene because it was broken in Act 3.
It was even better received than I expected, but it was front-loaded.
I would definitely give them a full point on that.
I am still very early on, so I can't...
Well, honestly, by the time you get to Act 3, it probably won't be that bad. They already fixed a bunch of stuff, and I've already noticed the stuff they fixed, because I got to Act 3, and then they did I got to Act 3 just before they did Patch 4, and now they've done Patch 4 and 5, and the slowdown is almost non-existent now, whereas while it was still very playable, it was very, like, laggy as hell, even for Patch 4. And I guess, like, they talked about it. They said that the reason the slowdown was happening was because...
Something with...
Yeah, the choices. So the game remembers every choice you've ever made, even the ones that don't matter in Act 3. And
it
they,
was packing it somehow. Yeah.
So they were like, we had to make it so that they'd forget the choices that you made that don't matter in Act 3. Because just everything that you ever did, the game was constantly being like, what did they ask there? What did they ask there? What did they ask there? What did they ask? So every choice you ever made was just constantly being reiterated in Act 3. And it was just slowing it all the hell down. But I would definitely argue for a point on that one.
Yeah, and there's still the I don't want to say complaint because that sounds like it's such a negative, but people acknowledge that they wish Act 3 had the length and depth that Act 1 and 2 had to this day.
Yeah, I have heard that. I'm not arguing against your point at all. I definitely haven't noticed the lack of length or depth from
You Act only 3 visit yet. The lower city. Like, Baldur's Gate has, like, what,
That's
four
true.
Levels, Neil?
That's true.
That I don't have that source book. So okay.
I believe in the lore there's like this is I true. Think there's four levels to Baldur's Gate.
Like the city really itself isn't fleshed out. I won't argue that at all. Because like when you get to Act 3 you can't even go into Baldur's Gate until like you're ready for the main conflict really. Like you're only in the like outside stuff. I will say, though, just from the, like, amount of storylines and amount of things you can do, I don't think it compares to Act 1, but I definitely wouldn't say I was let down by the amount of it, I guess, is what
I'm
saying.
That's what you said, not like a complaint,
yeah,
but
no.
a gripe, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say that, too. Like, that's not just from you. But yeah, yeah, okay.
I still haven't even hit Act 2, so, in fact,
Act 3, I'll be honest with you.
Savor Act 1, man. I do think it's the best. I hate Act 2, but I love Act 3 so far, but, like, I would definitely say Act 1 is the most fun.
Yeah, we were actually about to play it the other night, and then, 30 gigabyte update. Zach, your final normal one.
Okay.
Monster Hunter World 2 is announced for 2024.
I would go ahead and say objectively that this is not going to happen. There is, of course, the 0.009% chance that at the Game Awards we see a trailer and they announce it for September 24. If that happens, of course, I think we can all, you know, posthumously give me a point, but... It would be, it's the same percentage of chance of Rogue Trader suddenly getting delayed 4 days before its release. Probably not going to happen. I think we can go ahead and safely say I don't get a point there.
I think if I thought that was going to happen, that Rage Gaming would be talking about
it,
you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think
that's like their thing, but they're still on BG3.
I was really expecting a trailer for it around like... Summer Game Award shows and stuff like that. Not Game Award, but Summer of Gaming shows. I was really expecting a trailer for it. I think we're due for a sequel to it, but I'm not going to like... I don't have any hope that there's going to be a trailer at the Game Awards. It's just, of course, if for some reason there was going to be one, you know. But I think we would have heard something at this point. I think we can safely say I don't get a point on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for you. but yeah, I know Keeley came out and said that the Game Awards this year is not going to have an emphasis on the whole world premiere trailer thing that they always do.
Don't buy it. Don't buy it.
I was going to say I'd take that with a whole block of salt. He may have like one less announcement. They'll put the show. They'll have the show be 2 hours and 15 minutes instead of 2.5 hours.
Well, look, I hate Keeley. And I don't like what he's done to the Game Awards, but I will do a slow clap if we start getting actual presentations of awards and less trailers. Like, seriously. I think this, though, I find that very hard to believe when Xbox is on Twitter pointing out that they're not skipping the Game Awards this year, which was a big year, big deal last year, and they're bringing a bunch of trailers to it. So, like, you've got probably the most powerful first-party developer out there being like, we're bringing all our trailers to the Game Awards, and then you got Keighley being like, yeah, but we're not going to put an emphasis on trailers. Yeah, I don't buy that, dude.
Yeah, no, definitely not. We'll see what that winds up being in the end.
Yeah.
So my last normal one, Starfield gets released in the back half of 2023. I would say yes.
Yeah.
As much as it was...
Yeah.
Yawn-inducing.
it was very yawn-inducing. But yeah, you definitely, I'd say you definitely got a point there. Definitely got a point there.
Alrighty, so now the Wild Ones.
Wild Ones.
Phil,
yours? I didn't get it.
Yeah, unfortunately. Starfield releases in 2024 or later.
Ooh, close.
I should have just said close. It wasn't going to be good.
Yeah, if you...
Then that would have been, and I think that we all would have agreed that that would have been an okay enough assessment. And but sure enough, it wound up being a snooze fest.
It was still a snooze fest. It is an aggressively mediocre game.
Aggressively mediocre. Zach, the Metroid Prime trilogy and Prime 4 are announced. All we got was the single Metroid Prime remaster.
Yeah, I really, like, every urge is to argue for a half point here because we did get the remaster of one. But I think if I said Prime 4 and the Metroid Prime trilogy, I think that might be a little bit too much. So
if
I'll take a loss on that one.
Even if we got 1 and 2 this year, I think I would have argued for a half point for you.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to argue for a half point because I got one game. Like, one of the games did come out. One of them did remaster. I don't think I would have gotten a full point unless all of that came out, you know?
Yeah. And then my last one, unfortunately... Microsoft and Sony announced their next-gen hardware revisions.
Oh.
And I remember even saying this is going to be such bullshit if this is true, and sure as goddamn shit. The Series S revision, I don't think, is out yet. Mm-hmm. And then the PS5 Slim with the weird, dumb disc add-on is supposed to be coming out this month, I think?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I think
you get the win then, right? That gives you the win with the Wild One.
I think so, because that puts you to 2.5, I think.
3.5. So the final score, Phil, you got 2. Zach, you got 1.5. And I wound up with 3.5 this year.
All right. Congratulations, Neil. Congratulations. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen,
we're all clapping.
Because Phil won last year, right?
Yes.
Hey, did Phil do it the year before that with us? So last year was your first year.
Okay. Last year was the first year, yeah.
All right, that's still good. I've still never won. So whether it's one-on-one or one-on-three. That's true.
We're going to do 2024.
Next year's a new year. And my predictions are just as fucking insane, so probably not going to win next year.
I feel like I struggled with mine this year.
I struggled for a little bit, and then I came up with a couple that are... They're all out of left field because I don't feel like anything truly amazing is going to happen next year. So, like, they're all kind of crazy out of left field, so we'll have to see. And we're going to...
basically my hopes.
Yeah! That's a good one.
Some of them.
Keep those fingers crossed. All right. We're going to take a little break, guys. Then we'll come back. Instead of news, we're going to do our predictions for next year. And then we'll wrap things up. We'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This brings us to the big one. This is our predictions for the year of 2024. The three of us are going to take turns. We've got three normal predictions, one crazy one each. And then next year, we will reconvene yet again to decide who wins it. So,
who is more pessimistic of the future?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it's all in good fun. We're all just having fun here. Like, I really don't care who wins. I love, honestly, looking back on what the predictions were and how close they were and stuff and how close we got it, you know? Like, I just find that really fun, you know?
It is.
Should we give Phil the first since he's the guest?
Absolutely.
All right. My first two are going to be kind of Larian centered. First one I'll go with is I believe that although Sven Vinkta has alluded to not working on Baldur's Gate 3 anymore other than updates, I think with the hype for the game and the great success it has that we see, at least hear of rumors of DLC. And I think that we probably get some DLC dropping towards the back half of the year for BG3.
Fingers crossed for new classes, man. I would love to see that.
So the only real class that was omitted was the Artificer class.
Let's see it. Let's see it. I want to see it.
That would be very interesting.
There's a good mod for it, believe it or not.
I was going to say, I'm sure the modding community is going to take that over.
Well, and let's face it, that game, even if it doesn't get DLC, is going to live on for years through mods.
What I think absolutely. They're going to do, like, my guess is what they do is they, because they're worried about, like, level creep, because D&D is awful when you get to higher levels. It's like impossible to balance the game. I think they're actually going to go and my guess is that they put new areas and stuff in acts that already exist.
Yeah.
Or they give us Upper City in Act 3. You know, stuff like that. Like, I think they're going to add some new maps. Probably drop some new weapons and gear.
Yeah.
Maybe throw in the Artificer class. I think it's going to be that kind of thing. But I think I can't see how they walk away from it completely, even if they just put a smaller team on the DLC side.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I think the best thing you can do for Baldur's Gate is give me more reasons to replay it. Because it's already really good. It's already got just tons of stuff in it. You know, they already kind of did that with Patch 5 and the new epilogue. They also did some new stuff in Act 1 that you and I were talking about, Phil. And, like, that could be really cool stuff that they just add, like, reworks to new things, more reasons to just play it again and again and again, you know?
Yep.
I think the bulk of that is going to be all the subclasses. There are hella subclasses.
Yeah, especially for, like, cleric and sorcerer.
That would be cool, too.
Tons and tons of subclasses. I would love to see more of those. Because I was a little sad that some of the, you know, in the character creation, you really only get, like, I mean, say only, you know.
There's so much still stuff a lot, in the
game. There's tons of stuff in the game. Like, but you get three choices, really, for basically what's in the base player's
for most of them, yeah. I want a fucking Echo Knight Fighter subclass so bad.
Echo Knight Fighter is so broken, and I love every single second of it. It is the best thing ever. I play an
Echo Knight in an actual TTRPG.
I have heard about this Echo Knight. I have heard about his exploits. So who should go with their prediction next there, boss?
Go ahead with yours.
Okay, this one's weird. If you guys want to restrict this one, I understand. And I will come up with another one real quick because I'm not sure that it technically breaks the rules, but it's close. The reason I'm selecting it is because of what it is and how long it's taken. I am going to predict that Skull and Bones actually releases in early 24, which I know, usually just having a release is a little bit ridiculous, but the fact that Skull and Bones has taken 10 fucking years and has been delayed like 40 times, I feel like this is actually kind of a long shot, but I'm going to say Skull and Bones actually releases in early 2024.
Early, okay.
Yeah, so first quarter.
First quarter. Okay, that's enough to push me over the edge. I was going to say, I would put the caveat on it that you have to guess what the IGN rating is going to be within one.
But IGN, it's going to be a 7. Everything's a fucking 7 if it's not a 10. If it's not a 10 or a nightmare, it's a 7. So I could just say 7 and I'd be all right. I don't know that it'll be well received, mainly because I don't think it's a bad game from what I have enjoyed of it. I feel that it's being marketed wrong, and it's going to be corporatized too much. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think the gameplay itself is bad. I think that, like, they're going to try and cram a premium price tag with a ton of microtransactions down our throat, and that is the problem. That's going to be the big problem on this. From what I may or may not have played via beta, I will say that, like, I should just start lying and saying I got into that open beta not too long ago. But from what I played, this game would be a brilliant free-to-play game. Brilliant free-to-play game. It's just made for it. But I think they're going to try and cram that $70 price tag down our throats, along with the battle passes and the loot boxes and everything else. And it's gonna really kill it. But I think it releases first quarter.
Yeah, I'll give you that. First quarter's a close enough window because Lord knows it could get its like 8,000th delay.
It'll probably come out never.
It'll probably come out never.
Which would be sad. It's a fully done game. I'm telling you this right now. It was fully done before it's been fully done. It's the fully finished, complete game. Like it or hate it, it is a complete game, a complete package. Should have been released probably years ago. So, like, I don't know what they're doing on that.
So, I'm going to go with my first one here.
Go for it.
My first one is absolutely stupid. I hope it happens, but I'm going to judge so badly if it does.
Okay.
The ESRB is going to announce the return of E3 in 2025.
That's not even your crazy one?
That's not even my crazy
one. I would have let that be your crazy one, because there ain't never going to be an E3
because
again. Never.
I could see them doing it, though.
That is the thing. The whole stupid saga with it's canceled, well, not actually canceled, we're going to do it again, and then they're trying to get it together, but oh, no, well, not actually, we're going to try one more time, and then they try it again, and like, oh, you know what, E3's just totally done. I get the feeling they're going to take another crack at it with a different company that's going to like try to put it all together for them. Because they were trying to build a new identity for it.
Yeah, that's fair. Interesting. So we're back to Phil then, right?
Back to Phil.
Number and numero deuce.
All right, my second Larian-focused one is that... So Larian has said that they are working on another game. They have not given any details about it other than it's going to have a smaller scope than BG3 because they don't want it to be another 5-year project or whatever, 6-year project. My prediction is that game will get not released or anything, but will be told about it. It'll be announced as the newest Divinity entry because I think that now, number one, CRPGs have exploded because of Baldur's Gate 3. Like if you actually look, Divinity Original Sin 2 has this huge player surge right now.
Yeah.
And that game is, 8 years old now?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
It's a very good game.
People are suddenly doing videos about it, too, on YouTube again.
Yeah, highly recommend. But I do think that... Dude, that world is awesome, and I think that not enough people you know, gave it a chance because it was a CRPG, but it plays very much like BG3, not mm-hmm. nearly as fleshed out as BG3 with your choices and consequences, but it's the same. They use the same system to make it. The interactions in the worlds are very similar. I do think that we will hear that whatever they call it, it's going to be the new Divinity entry.
Yeah, I could see that, especially now, like, Larian has exploded with Baldur's Gate 3, and now they have all of this goodwill in their sails. Like, yeah. they can use this to
world their oyster right property. Now.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like they can be like, "Hey guys, you know we do more than just D&D, right? Here's this other thing."
Because that's the misconception is everybody thinks they got money from Wizards of the Coast mm-hmm. to help them make BG3. No, they paid Wizards of the Coast to make BG3.
Wizards of the Coast doesn't give anybody money.
So now the thing that is what they make, even if it's a smaller scope, that their profit margin is going to be so much higher if they mm-hmm. use their own IP because they're not paying anybody else for rights.
And you'll get a ton of sales just on the follow-up BG crowd, you know. Yeah, I think that's really cool. Do you think that they'll do a beta of it like they did with BG, or they'll just release it?
I do think so, because I think they found I think they found good success with the way they handled that game. I don't know that the beta will be out next year. I could see a beta in 2025 and a release in 2026 or something like that.
Just that the next game's Divinity is the prediction. Yeah.
I think Divinity 2 did have like an early access to it, if I remember correctly.
I wasn't into CRPGs when that was being made, so I don't know the answer, but you could very well be right.
All right, so my second one then, right?
Your second one.
No Nintendo system until 25. No next Switch until 2025. It's going to be early 2025 because that's where they found success on Switch. Nintendo likes to do, once Nintendo finds a winning strategy, that's how they like to roll with it. Nobody releases a system in early spring/summer. It's just not done in the gaming industry. I think what we'll see is we'll see a ton of games still coming out for the Switch next year that have already been announced, that we're already looking at. And then I think early 2025, we're going to see that Nintendo system. And that Nintendo system will come with a bunch of, like, you know, oh, now it's also on this. So for the specifications of the prediction itself, no new Nintendo system releases in 2024, like no new Switch, like the next Switch. Not like an upgraded Switch, I'm talking about like the next Switch. That won't be released in 2025. In 2024, it may be announced for 2025, but nothing Nintendo-oriented big system hardware comes out in 2024.
That would be interesting.
Yes.
Because everything that we've heard so far has pointed to early 2024.
Yeah, they're full of shit.
I'd be very curious to see what happens with
that. There's too much coming out for just Switch right now for them to switch up the hardware. The Wii U was long dead by the time the Switch came out. There's no way.
That's true.
There's no way they have announced this many game releases and they're going to just drop new hardware in our laps in March. I don't find it. Will be interesting though. I'm sure I'll lose. I'm the king of bad predictions here.
My second one, Fable 3.
Fable 3. That came out and sucked.
I don't know why I typed 3 there. Fable 4, the new Fable game, whatever we're calling it now, is going to finally release this year, holiday 2024.
Whoa, that could have been a crazy one. I don't see that releasing in 24, but okay.
If it does, it's going to suck.
Or be aggressively mediocre. That's what we got for Starfield.
So here's the thing. Outside of, you know, all the bullshit that Microsoft just bought, we really don't know of anything coming out in 2024.
It's true.
At least, you know, mentioned even for 2024.
That's true.
That's the only, one of the only things out there, aside from that other rare Everwilds game, that we know of that's first party.
That ain't never coming out.
That's been in, yeah, it's not fucking coming out.
Their director quit. Like, that game doesn't exist anymore, I don't think.
Right.
It's a Phantom trailer.
Yeah, so I would be, I hope it happens, because remember back when Fable 4 was supposed to come out in 2022?
Yeah, I do.
But we got our first trailer of it last year, so I don't know. I think it might happen.
Yeah, that trailer wasn't a real trailer, though, so I don't buy it.
That's fair.
I don't buy it as far as I can throw it. But fills up for Trice.
My third prediction will be that Avowed Obsidian releases second half of the year to success.
Okay. All right.
I hope they do some sort of beta before it comes out. I feel like they might because they did it with Grounded or whatever, but we'll see.
Grounded was kind of a different beast, though,
because
it was a small team.
Yeah.
And they kind of used that beta to build that game.
I'm just hoping that we start to see with, not to keep bringing up Larian, but with the success we've seen from some of these games that did what Larian did, yeah. I hope that becomes a more of a trend.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I feel like Avowed is still looking very similar to the kind of medieval fantasy version of the Outer Worlds, and they didn't do any betas for Outer Worlds. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think Grounded is kind of a special case, because I think it was like, when that first came out, there was like 5 people working on that game, and they kind of used that beta to finish that game. I think that game was half done, and they were like, let's put it in beta and see what happens, and it allowed them to make that game really awesome. So
that would be my hope, though, that like Avowed comes out earlier in the year, do a beta, and then releases it, you know.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Second half of the year. But my prediction, though, just to reiterate, is just that it comes out second half year and it's well received.
All right.
I can see it.
Yeah, so could I. So my third one is still a kind of a crazy one, but I want this to be on there. And my crazy one is really crazy, like lunatic bananas. I think next year Valve will announce a Game Pass competitor. I think they're the only ones with the strength to do it. I think everybody in the industry now is starting to see that this is the trend. The power of Game Pass is astronomical, whether you subscribe to it or not. It's obvious the influence that it has on gaming, and I think just like with Netflix, the other companies are going to see that and start doing it, and I think PlayStation's already tried it, not really to much success because PlayStation's power base is, let's face it, not even existent right now, but Valve is a different beast. Valve has the capital and the game base to very easily make their own Game Pass competitor. I'm still a subscriber of Game Pass. I think Game Pass is still, especially if you're playing on PC, one of the best values in gaming. I think if Valve released, I might jump ship. I'm not going to lie. Valve is something that could definitely arm it. Valve has a game library that is astronomical, and if they could get even 50% of those games to sign on to the subscription process, especially the old ones that people don't play as much anymore, to get those player counts up, this would be a real boon to Valve. And I think that if Valve is not in a room somewhere talking about this, then they are not being smart about the way the market's going.
Dude, I so hope you're right on that. Because I would totally never worry about Microsoft again if Valve did that. Yeah. And if they did it well.
Yeah, oh yeah. If they did it well, it'd be amazing. And just think about the just think about the library, you know what I mean? Plus, if Valve did it well, especially on PC, a lot of the games that are in Game Pass already on Steam and might prefer to be in Steam's Game Pass over Xbox. You know what I mean? So I think it would be a really cool thing. We'll have to see, though.
Yeah, I think that's something that we have even mentioned before on the podcast about, like, who could, you know, bring a competition to Xbox, really.
Yeah.
And Valve has been the one that we've brought up every single time. Is Valve is the only one who could really, like, pull it off. Sure, Epic tried to buy their way into the space, but I don't think Epic would succeed in a, hey, here's the Epic Pass to play whatever, you know, is on the launcher or whatever. But if Valve came out and, you know, announced the same thing, shit, I'll bet you, I would say that if Valve did it, they could even announce it at $20, $25 a month, and it would still be a hit.
If they had the library, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you just think about the amount of games that are on Steam. If they got that in there, that's huge. I think that, like, you know, especially if you announce, like, features with it that Microsoft has, like, you get automatic discounts on all of your actual purchases through the Steam store. Like, I mean, that's huge, man. That's huge. That would be a good value. I think that one of the biggest problems with why we haven't seen a quicker move to the streaming singularity in gaming is because I think a lot of the companies think of it as a primarily console-based thing. It's not. Game Pass PC is just as big as anything else. I think that the PC companies need to start thinking about it as that as well. And I think Valve's the first people who could, because they've already moved into the console space with the Steam Deck. So this is the next logical thing. And I think that this is a definite transition, especially if their Game Pass was everything that was on the Steam Deck. Boom. You know what I mean? You hit those console people right there.
Absolutely. I hope if they do that and they go to a high price like Neil's talking, I hope they have a tiered system.
Yeah.
Because I can't. I would never pay $25 a month for that because I don't have enough time to play enough games to equal out.
That's totally fair.
Yeah, that's true.
That's totally fair. I still see what he's saying, though. It could still be successful on a whole. I would much rather it be cheaper as well.
Oh, yeah. Cheaper is always better.
Yeah.
So you actually brought them up. So I'm actually going to go into my third one here.
Yep.
I think Sony's going to attempt to buy Ubisoft. I think...
This is crazy. You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
Yeah. I think that Sony... Sure, they purchased Bungie. And, you know, they're feeling kind of down and on the outs about the Ubisoft thing. They would probably... I feel like they would make a move to buy Ubisoft. But there would still be... It would only be like the game division of Ubisoft, like actually the publishing side of things, like the cloud streaming, everything like that would have to remain separate, obviously, because of what happened with the Microsoft deal, the Microsoft Activision deal.
Be a real power move, that's for sure.
Yeah, it would be a power move. And honestly, I think with how much Sony fought that acquisition, they're gonna feel like the only thing that they can do to respond to it is try to make a large purchase themselves.
I could see them buying Embracer Group before that, but that works because Embracer Group's in trouble.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. It would really make the landscape of things interesting, given the whole Ubisoft Microsoft relationship that we talked about earlier. I don't know that Sony has the power or the capital to make that happen, but to each his own.
We shall see.
So we on to the crazy ones?
We're on to the crazy ones.
What's your crazy one, Phil? What do you got?
My crazy one is that we start... we start to see a ton of companies announcing games being made with that AI crap where where like the NPCs use that
ChatGPT
technology. Yeah, and I think that ends up leading to a huge, 'cause there's a special chip that is used for AI. Mm-hmm. And I think it leads to like this huge shortage in those chips and all that. But I don't think we're gonna see any of those games next year. That's not what I'm saying. I think we're gonna start seeing the big players announcing that that's what they're developing, these new games that they're coming out with.
Like, it'll be a feature in the announcements.
Yeah, I think it's the new trend that is going to...
I can see a world where that happens. And I would be very interested to see what happens with that, because we just got done having a writer's strike, which was kind of somewhere along the same lines of like one of the main things that they were talking about was worries about AI inclusion. Going with a large group of largely ununionized workers having their jobs being taken over by AI would be very interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. That's definitely a hot button. I could definitely see that coming. Because that's going to be a very interesting, just the AI thing in general, in entertainment space, period, is going to be a very interesting thing in the next, like, 5 to 10 years, just in general. It's weird, too, because it's one of those things, because I don't necessarily know what side I land on the AI thing, and it's very interesting. So I could definitely see that happening, Phil, definitely. So my crazy one is Lunatic Bananas, but I think it might happen. I think there's a chance. Recently, Phil Spencer was interviewed, and you know, my tinfoil hat on, I've been saying this forever, that I think the whole reason that Microsoft started trying to kill PlayStation was because they were trying to put Game Pass on PlayStation and trying to put Game Pass on Nintendo, and Sony blocked that, so they were like, let's just run them out of fucking business. I've been saying this forever. Phil Spencer recently said in an interview that he is still looking forward to attempting to put Game Pass on PlayStation and Switch. I believe that all of this is coming to fruition. He's got Activision now. He has the power, and as much as PlayStation hates him, they don't have a choice. So I think that we hear an announcement of Game Pass going on PS5 and the Nintendo Switch in 2024. I think that's the next step. I know this is crazy, but I think that's always what Phil Spencer wanted, was to take market shares away, just have his shit on everything. They want to be the console Valve, basically, and I think that's, they're now in a position to do it by owning Activision, and that's what they're going to do. So in 2024, we're going to hear an announcement of the Game Pass service coming to Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 5.
That would be very interesting, and I think it would be a... I wouldn't... not Microsoft, if Nintendo did it, I feel like that would be a bit more of a, oh, these guys are pretty chummy with each other. Uh-huh. I feel like that very well could be a thing that could, like, they do it and it's not weird.
Yeah.
But for the PS5 on a Sony console, that would be fucking wild.
I think that I've said this repeatedly for many years on this podcast, that Phil Spencer's ultimate goal was always to put Game Pass everywhere. That's what he wants. He wants Game Pass on PlayStation. And I think because there was rumors about it. I don't know if you remember, but there was rumors about Game Pass coming to Switch. Mm-hmm. And there was rumors about Game Pass coming to Sony. And those rumors got knocked down like 2 months after they came out. I still think this is all a vindictive thing, that Phil Spencer wanted to put Game Pass on both of those systems. Those systems said no. And then he went to war with those systems. And he's won, which sucks. I don't want to say that, but he has. He owns fucking everything now. And I think that with Call of Duty, Call of Duty's fate on PlayStation not really being secure at this point, I think that, like, he can basically go to him and be like, hey, guess what? Now you got to put Game Pass here. And I think he's going to leverage it next year. But that's my crazy one. I will say this. This is predicated on the fact that I think Phil Spencer wants this. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. That's why I think it's a crazy one. But I think Phil Spencer has always wanted this. This has always been the goal. This is how he wants to dominate video games. And this is what he's been working towards.
So, speaking of Microsoft, my wild one is that Microsoft is going to announce a first-party portable console.
Cool.
And I think that this would be wild because...
I feel like you've made this a prediction before in a previous year.
I may have the first time around when we did this.
Is this the new Metroid Prime Remastered?
Well, now that we have things like the Steam Deck, the ROG Ally... all these other portable console things, now that this market's really taken off and, you know, the Switch has such a stranglehold on it, I think Microsoft is going to want to get in on it like themselves. They want to tout it as something that's like, oh, developed for xCloud and, you know, whatever the hell they want to spout about it. Their big thing has been people playing games in places all the time. We knew about that Project Keystone that they were going to do that was inevitably shelved. I think this is something that they're going to want to do, but it's crazy to me if they actually do this, because they'd be throwing money at something that everybody else is already doing anyways. To be the one that makes it themselves, like, Steam did it first because, you know, it was one of those things where, like, yeah, they have that, they have the Steam library. So people use Steam as a console, so to speak, on their PC. It makes sense there. But everybody else is piggybacking off of that. And then people are starting to make mention of, like, well, what about Game Pass? Can you get Game Pass on this? And you can, but it's like workarounds or like convoluted and everything like that. I think Microsoft's just going to cut straight to the quick and just be like, hey, here's our Xbox Series P or whatever the hell they're going to call it, like Series Portable or whatever. I think that that's something that they could do, but I think it would be really dumb if they ended up doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it, right? We've all done our predictions.
We have done our predictions. It'll be locked away in the vault and sealed.
Sealed for a year. We shall return next year, God willing, and decide the winner once again as we battle. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, guys. Actually, it ended up turning out to be a short show, which is nice. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll do plugs, and we'll go sleep. We'll be right back, guys.
I like go sleep.
I like go sleep, too.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hi everybody, we're back for plugs. Honored guest Phil Billy, the Buildmaster General, the completion of the Triforce, the other founder. What would you like to plug, sir?
I just want to plug to check out some of our, well, first off, check out Baldur's Gate 3.30. The first episode is up, and, well, by the time you're seeing this, I think the second episode will be up. So check that out, as well as we had our season finale of Astral Drive last Wednesday that aired, and that ended up in a whole lot. And then also this Thursday, you can catch our next episode of TMNT and Other Strangeness right here at 9:30.
This is correct. I will add to that, the week after this Thursday, we are going back and fixing the one episode that I fucked up via audio by replaying it. And adding a little extra content. So we're going to do the origin of Ruby the Sparrow while we actually go through the finale of the original Stump Gang campaign with Philbilly and Wizard. That will be a week from this Thursday. So two Stump Gangs this month, which is a lot of fun. And Baldur's Gate 3.0 is awesome. Everybody should check it out. It's a lot of fun. Neil, what would you like to play?
Things that aren't fun. Redfall Down is in its final episodes. I think we have, what, three more to go up?
Yes. We are closing in. The last episode will be the weekend of Christmas. It will be the yes. Saturday prior yes. to Christmas. Yes, Merry Christmas to us. We don't have to play that fucking game anymore. I can't believe we beat it. We are like the... It's sad, but I say it on the show. I feel like it's one of my greatest gaming accomplishments because me and Kayla are of probably 10 people on the planet who played that game to its completion. Yeah. Like, nobody else can say that. Like, every achievement is rare by the time you get to the last, like, boss. Like, every one of them.
Just lighten up with rare achievements.
And they gives you the percentage, and it's like 0.001% of players have gotten this achievement.
I'd be part of the 1% this way.
Yeah. Yeah, that is coming. Tuakos. The Lasso 3 won't be done, though. We will find a new game to play. We're probably going to do a couple of streams of just something fun to uplift us from the terror that was Redfall. Although I did have a lot of fun playing it. Just because I was playing it with you guys and we were doing stupid voices the entire time, the game was just a nightmare. Just a nightmare.
In the end, I liken it to Sonic 06.
Yeah, you've said that.
That's the joy that I got out of it in the end.
Yeah, I would have liked it if it was just bugs for me, but it was a lot of freezing for me, and that cuts me. That cuts me to the core. I don't mind bugs. It's where my game every so often just freezes and I die. I don't like that.
The fact that we went and tried to do a nest one single solitary time and it crashed to desktop.
Yes, yeah, it crashed everybody's desktop. It was great. All right, so other than that, I just posted last Friday a WWE 2K24 GM mode wish list. Please check that out. I had a lot of fun doing that. We also have a lot of other gaming content. I think I just have posted a review on Rollerdrome. It just entered Game Pass. It was interesting. So check that out and check out everything. We got OMGM, Prelude to Divorce, obviously Redfall Down coming, and then this show. We can also announce definitively that the 27th of December, the Wednesday after Christmas, Merry Christmas to you guys, because that's when the Horrible Game Awards will air. We will do our game show. We're recording for it right now, and very excited for that. And I want to thank everybody who helped do the awards via voting and whatnot. All right. That's it. You guys can reach us on Facebook at OmegaGamingDH, on Twitter at OmegaGaming9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as long as you keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. See you guys next time. I knew it. Pause.
Too bad this thing doesn't have like pull strings. I can just
like, pull on. Just is it a code or is it a?
It is a full on. Hold on, because you got to get the full. You got to get the full experience.
Oh wow!
It's a fucking.
It's like a muumuu. It's like a wearable thing. Hysterical.
It's got room for snacks.
It's like a fucking nice. Advanced Snuggie or something.
It really is. And it's funny because I actually originally got this for Kayla for Christmas 2 years ago, I think it was. And I was like, oh, she'll really enjoy this. And she absolutely does. But when I bought it, I intentionally bought it on a larger size because first off, she can tuck in. But yeah, so I can steal it too.